like football or netball, a game that's played out to time and it's all over by half time. You know, what's the point of the second half? What's the point of running, jumping, throwing, kicking, tackling, risking injury? What's the point, really? As we get to 1 Samuel chapters 18 to 31, it's a bit like that, isn't it? What's the point? The game's over. Samuel and God have rejected Saul. Saul is a coward in the shadow of Goliath. David is the brave champion king who leads Israel to victory. The winner and the loser in the game for the crown of Israel, it's already obvious. So what's the point? There's no chance of a comeback for Saul. So what's the point of chapters 18 to 31? Well, let me begin with 18 to 31. So it's a big slab of scripture, I understand, with a quick overview for you. A quick overview. If you look up on the screen, I'll show you the structure of these 14 chapters. There's a pattern where the first chapter, chapter 18, echoes with the last chapter. The first and the last chapter form a pair, okay? The second and the second last chapter form a pair. And that goes on and on right through till you get to the heart of the story, chapters 24 and 25. So let me run through them quickly for you. Chapter 18, Saul sends David to fight the Philistines, hoping that David will be killed. In chapter 31, Saul is killed by the Philistines. Chapter 19, David is defeating God's enemies, the Philistines and the Amalekites. It echoes into chapter 30. Chapter 20, David escapes because he has loyal royals. Okay, and that's chapter 20 and chapter 29. In chapter 21, we see David is eating holy bread. In chapter 28, we see that Saul eats the witch's bread. Okay? Chapter 22 and 27. In chapter 22, Saul kills God's people. In chapter 27, David kills God's enemies. This echoes. Chapter 23, Saul pursues David. Chapter 26, David spares Saul. See how it's funneling us in to these centre chapters, where chapter 24, it's really Saul versus David. And then chapter 25, the one we just read, it's a new character, Nabal versus David. And we're going to sit in chapter 25 this morning, and it'll help us to understand all of the chapters. But before we get there, let me take you to the very heart of these last chapters, the very heart of these last chapters. Have a look again at chapter 25 and verse 1. Chapter 25 and verse 1. Now Samuel died, and all Israel assembled and mourned for him, and they buried him at his home in Ramah. See, right at the very heart of these chapters is the fact that Samuel dies. And we really simply move over it in four verbs. He died. They gathered, they mourned, they buried. Now, I get that this was probably a big deal at the time, but the historian, the writer of 1 Samuel, is making a big point here, isn't he? Because Samuel was really a massive figure in God's plan and purpose for Israel. He's the greatest of the judges, easily. He ranks up there with Moses, okay? And in the book named after him, his death gets a little 20-word entry in the obituaries on a back page in the Jerusalem Border Mail, right? Why? Why? This is not a slight on Samuel. This is a slight on Israel and Saul, who never listened to Samuel when he was alive. See, that was the time to make a big deal of Samuel and listen to God's word and repent. hear the warning loud and clear in 1 Samuel. Now is the time to listen to God's word while you have it, while it's here. It's too late when it's gone. In one terse, short verse, the great Samuel is dead and buried. And then it's game on between King Saul and the rising King David. I don't need that anymore. Thanks, Anton. So Saul has lost his anointing. He's the people's choice and not God's choice. And he represents the anti-hero. So let's have a quick look at the last days and the anti-hero. Point two on your outline. On the one hand, playing out time, it shows the character and the weaknesses of the loser, doesn't it? As the game goes on, what we see is Saul is shown to be the taking, killing, vengeful, envious king. Chapter 25 really acts like a case study for us for all of these chapters. So we're going to sit in chapter 25, as I said. It tells us about these last days. And in verse 3, we meet a caricature of Saul. His name is Nabal. Have a look, chapter 25 and verse 3. His name was Nabal, and his wife's name was Abigail. She was an intelligent and beautiful woman, but her husband, a Calebite, was surly and mean in his dealings. There's Nabal. Now, Nabal ran sheep. And David's on the run from King Saul like Robin Hood. And while he's on the run, David and his merry men, they protect Nabal and his flocks. That's what's happening in this chapter. David is kind to Nabal. And in keeping with one good favour deserves another, David thinks that Nabal will give him supplies when it comes to the festival season. But Nabal is surly and mean. Nabal is a fool. That's literally what his name means. Have a look, verse 25. Now this is Abigail speaking. May the Lord pay no attention to that wicked man Nabal. He is just like his name. His name is fool, and folly goes with him. And so what we see in this chapter is that Nabal makes enemies with David. And so in a sense, what we have is a caricature of Saul. Just swap Nabal the shepherd for Saul the shepherd of Israel. Okay? And in chapter 26, the next chapter, Saul is out hunting David. David sneaks into Saul's camp, and while they're sleeping, he steals Saul's spear and his water jug from right next to his head. And then David breaks the news to Saul. And Saul says, I have sinned. Come back, David, my son, because you considered my life precious today. I will not harm you again. Surely I have acted like a fool and have erred greatly. See, Saul is the fool, like Nabal. He's surly and mean. He repays David's good with evil. And David knows that Saul won't keep his word. He won't stop at anything in his pursuit of David. What's the point of playing out time? Well, playing out time reveals Saul's heart. And the longer it goes, the worse he gets. These chapters prove that Saul is the fool who rejects God's king and runs to Satan for help. Chapter 28 is a dark, dark day in Israel. Saul turns to the dark side. Saul himself had made consulting the dead illegal and banished the mediums and the necromancers from Israel. But in chapter 28, Saul is in allegiance with a witch. Ultimately, he's eating the bread of Satan. See, Saul looks great on the outside, but his heart will do nothing. It will do anything except obey God. It will do anything. He represents the anti-hero, Satan. And Saul's judgment day almost immediately comes. He's mortally wounded in battle, and then the taking king takes his own life by falling on his sword. And so the book of 1 Samuel ends with Israel in at least as bad a condition as when it started. Kingship is a complete failure under King Saul. In fact, that's true of most of their kings, isn't it? King David is the standout exception. So let's have a quick look at the last days and the hero. The last days and the hero, point three on your outline. So on the one hand, playing out time shows up the loser. But on the other, it shows the character and the strengths of the winner. And in chapter 25, when Nabal is rude to David's men, David gets angry and he tells them to sword up. David almost becomes like Saul. David almost takes matters into his own hands. But he doesn't. Why? Well, have a look with me at verse 26. Again, Abigail speaking. This is the voice of wisdom. Abigail speaking. Now, since the Lord has kept you, David, my master, from bloodshed, and from avenging yourself with your own hands, as surely as the Lord lives and as you live, may your enemies and all who intend to harm my master be like Nabal. And let this gift which your servant has brought to my master be given to the men who follow you. Please forgive your servant's offense, for the Lord will certainly make a lasting dynasty for my master, because he fights the Lord's battles. Let no wrongdoing be found in you as long as you live. Even though someone is pursuing you to take your life, the life of my master will be bound securely in the bundle of the living by the Lord your God. Verse 30. When the Lord has done for my master every good thing he promised concerning him and has appointed him leader over Israel, my master will not have on his conscience the staggering burden of needless bloodshed or of having avenged himself. And when the Lord has brought my master success, remember your servant. Remember who's the hero in Israel? It's the Lord God, isn't it? The Lord is the hero. Satan, we've seen, is the anti-hero. God is the hero behind King David. And from the beginning of the very wise words of Hannah, to these wise words of Abigail, the Lord God is the hero who saves his king and his people. God is the hero. And God's king, David, he's very active doing God's work in these last days. Saul is a bad loser who takes cheap shots at David. But David won't retaliate. David actually spares Saul's life twice. And when he does, it's a bit like he just says to Saul, "Have a look at the scoreboard." And Saul knows he's done for. And David just keeps playing according to God's rules and God's time. In these last days, David plays a humble, patient end game. So again, David just points us forward to Jesus, doesn't he? Who doesn't fight back with the sword. Who won't call 10,000 angels to save him. Jesus, who bears the wrongs against him, letting the Jewish King Herod and the Roman kingdom kill him. So Jesus dies rather than taking for himself his kingdom. Jesus plays out a humble, patient end game. He doesn't take. He patiently and humbly waits for God to give to him the throne with all power and all authority over everything. In the last days of 1 Samuel, the anti-hero Satan and his antichrist Saul are shown to be the losers that they are. And they play out time, these chapters, so that God the hero and David his king are seen to be the winners. That's a summary of those 14 chapters. But note with me that these are real, nasty, tense days. A lot of bloodshed, fighting. Which brings us to our conclusion and point four, if you're following on the outline, the last days and you. Friends, we live, don't we, in real, nasty, tense days. And we do precisely because right now we're playing out time. We're playing out time. God is in control of the game of life. And it's up to him to call time. As we play out time, understand that the defeated Satan is a bad loser. He's still playing his taking game, and he doesn't play by the rules, does he? He's a lying, cheating, stealing killer. That's his end game, and we feel it all the time. And yet God's end game is one of humble patience. There's such different end games, it can feel like you're losing when you're actually winning. Be assured, the result of this game is not in dispute. The game was over 2,000 years ago when our champion Jesus took to the field and broke all the records. Yeah? The result of this game is not in dispute. We are playing out time. Have you ever wondered why God hasn't yet called time? What's the point of these last days? Well, in 2 Peter chapter 3, we read this. So then, dear friends, since you are looking forward to a new heaven and a new earth, the home of righteousness, make every effort to be found spotless, blameless, and at peace with the Lord Jesus. Bear in mind, here it is, that our Lord's patience means salvation. Bear in mind that our Lord's patience means salvation. Jesus has not yet called time precisely because he is patient, and in his patience he is saving many. That's why we're still playing, right? The last days in 1 Samuel are tense, troubling days because there's two kings running around. And it's the same in these last days. Which king will you follow? See, these last days are all about your allegiance. In our story, Abigail is really the beautiful personification of wisdom. She sees David as God's king. And so she submits to him. In these last days, the wise are like Abigail. We need to see Jesus as God's king and submit to him. Be like Abigail. And be like Jonathan. Now, we've skipped a whole heap of great stories, so please go back and read them, won't you? Let me just point you to a couple of sections where Jonathan gives us a feel for following Jesus. First up, we're in 1 Samuel chapter 18 and verse 3. If you want to have a look. 1 Samuel chapter 18 and verse 3. Jonathan is King Saul's firstborn son, and so he's the rightful heir to the throne of Israel. Have a look. 1 Samuel chapter 18 and verse 3. Jonathan made a covenant with David because he loved him as himself. Jonathan took off the robe he was wearing and gave it to David, along with his tunic and even his sword, his bow and his belt. You see what's happening here? What Jonathan does is he literally divests himself of every symbol of his own power. Jonathan hands to David everything he has. His royal robe, his clothes, his weapons, anything he can rely on. Jonathan submits everything to David. And Jonathan is next in line to be king, and he hands it all over to David. He says to David, "One day you will be king over Israel, and I will be second to you." Playing in these last days, it's about your allegiance. Have you given up on being king? Have you submitted everything to Jesus? Are you happy to be playing second to him? Playing in these last days, it's about allegiance. And it has a humble, patient end game. Our temptation, isn't it, is to be Saulish, to be like Saul, and to take what we think we deserve. But instead, we are to follow God's King, Jesus, who by example and by teaching says to us in these last days, turn the other cheek. Go the extra mile. Love your enemies. massive implications for us in these last days. Romans chapter 12, let me just give you a summary of some of those things that it says there. Do not think of yourself more highly than you ought. Honour one another above yourself. Share with God's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Rejoice with those who rejoice and mourn with those who mourn. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everybody. As far as it depends on you, live at peace with everybody. Do not take revenge, but leave room for God's wrath, for it is written, "It is mine to avenge, I will repay," says the Lord. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. See, like David, like Jesus, we're called to play out a humble, patient end game. It's not easy, is it? So pray, won't you, that the Lord God might, in Abigail's words, keep you from avenging yourself. What's the point of playing out time? Well, the point is, as all Eels fans know, the point is winning margins matter a lot. Yeah? It's really, this is the most important point for us. Because we're not talking points, we're talking people, right? Winning margins matter a lot. Our Lord's patience means salvation. Right now, the Lord Jesus is saving people. He's assembling a great multitude that no one can count, from every nation and tribe and people and language. And unbelievably, He's doing that right now through people like us. According to God's will, salvation is the one reason that we're still playing our time. And so we play best by speaking, don't we? Friends, now playing on planet Earth is the game of your life. It's the anti-hero, the hero, and these last days. This is like no other game. Because as you play, you get to recruit to your side. It's not a hard sell, really. All you have to do is just keep pointing to the scoreboard. Just keep pointing out that Jesus has won this game. He is God's forever king. And it's wise to play the game of life on his side. We're playing out time. And the point is, the winning margin matters a lot. So play well for Jesus, won't you? Let's pray. Loving, gracious Father, we thank you that we know that you are in control and you will call time. I thank you that our hero, Jesus, has come and he is the champion and he has won. Please help us to be your people in these last days. Help us to have our allegiance firmly with Jesus, our King. Help us, Father, to be patient and humble, to bear the image of Jesus well, and to bring glory to you as we live in these last days. And particularly, Father, help us to live humbly and to speak boldly, so that you might be doing your great work and saving many. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.